It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. It is time for us to enjoy the next 15 minutes and talk about the outdoors. Today's show is underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada, on Lake of the Woods. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com, and the toll-free number is 866-894-0674. We're going to talk catfishing today, and we're going to talk catfishing with someone that knows a whole lot about it, Mr. Charlie Jones with CJ Bait. We're going to pick Charlie's brain and find out why catfish bite certain baits different times of the year, and also learn why baits called punch baits have become so popular, especially in the last 5 or 6 years. Charles, I really appreciate you being with us today, sir.
Yes, thank you, Luke, for getting a hold of me. I've been wanting to talk to you, and now we get the chance to talk.
Well, the neat thing is the fact that there's so many ways to catch a catfish. Charles, you know, from a cricket to a worm to liver to what I like to fish with is a punch bait. And you know, CJ's punch bait, I think a lot of people, well, I don't think it, I know it. A lot of people listening to us all around Lake Tawakoni and Lake Fork and Levon and all over Northeast Texas have fished with CJ's. But I think it would be interesting to kind of pick your brain, Charles. And how did you... What was the thought process formulating this bait? I mean, it had to be a progressive thing. You know, you probably didn't just wake up one morning and say, hey, here's how you make the best catfish bait in the world. How did all that start, you know?
Well, first of all, Luke, it really started from being a fisherman. Been going fishing with my mom and dad at a young age. I could say I remember catching perch at the age of 3 years old. And so it was something that started at a young age, you know. It was like even as a teenager, getting up and going and doing stuff, we would rather, like, instead of being partying and stuff like that, we would rather be out there in the outdoors fishing. So it was something that I really enjoyed, and it was, you know, I tell people today, hey, it's the wonderful thing to do and to take your kids and stuff like that fishing at an early age, because it got me where I'm at today. You know, I really never been in no real trouble, and I'm not saying that it was all because of fishing, but again, it kept me out of trouble. But if we go back to the time as I got older, I learned about technique of fishing with, at the time, we was using dip bait. They called stink bait. They called it sponge bait.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know nothing about the punch bait at the time, but it was my daddy introduced it to us as kids. I actually have 3 brothers, and I also have a few sisters that used to fish. It was 9 of us all together. And we was introduced it through my dad, and he started slip corking fishing, which we didn't know nothing about. I mean, it was something very new, because at an early age, we was always told, hey, catfish only bite at nighttime, you know, that's what we thought.
Yes, uh-huh.
And, you know, you might catch a few in the daytime, but the going thing back then was catfish bite at nighttime. So this technique we saw with my dad and was catching them during the daytime. So it was something that we really caught hold to, because we started catching them. But to make a long story short, there was a old lady. Her name was Miss Jordan. She was the one who was making the bait that they was using. So she got where she was too old to make the bait. And it wasn't too many good baits out there. There was a few baits out there on the market that's still out there today that was out there when she was making them. We tried them, and they wasn't satisfying like we wanted. So what happened was I kind of looked up and looked around and looked at some different recipes, and really that's what got me started. I started out really as a hobby, really looking for a better bait to fish with. And what I did was I started trying to make it. The first time I did, I'll tell you the truth, I wasn't successful. And I kicked back, and then later on I tried it again. And again, and then it did a little better. I started catching fish. Well, the key thing was to it was when my mom and dad started using it. And when they started using it, man, I really knew I had something then. So, again, it started out as a hobby, and it turned into a business.
That's a good, you painted a good picture, Charles. Folks, our guest here is Charles Jones with that owns CJ's Bait Company. Charles, you know, most of our hardcore, we call them hardcore listeners around here, outdoor people, they know what a punch bait is. But explain punch bait to folks that might not know and you know, kind of how it got its name.
Well, we know that what I talked about earlier was the sponge bait, dip bait, you know, different type of bait that you use with a sponge or you use with a tube worm.
Mm-hmm.
The punch bait is a little simple. You know, the stink bait or the dip bait, you used to dip it in there and you throw it out there, and it just wouldn't stay on. You would bring it in, you would have to bring it in every 10 to 15 minutes and rebait. And then you get it all over your back or over somebody else's back on their head,
yes.
Head, whatever.
Yep.
And, well, the punch bait is a little different. You use it with a treble hook. A lot of people use a number 6 or a number 4. You don't need no spring, no sponge, no tube worm. You just take a regular treble hook with a stick, punch it off in there, and I'll usually pull mine out at an angle, kind of just drag it through there,
mm-hmm.
and pull it out. If you don't get that hook covered up, it don't hurt nothing to push it back in there. I push it right back down off in there again and drag it through there the same way, and usually that second time, if not the first time, that bait is on there. And then with our case, we use slip cork, so we throw it on out. But a lot of people fish on the bottom with it. But we still like the slip cork.
Now, a lot of our listeners will relate to slip cork. But folks, what Charles is talking about, a slip cork, it makes casting so much easier when you're casting. Say you're fishing all around some flooded willows or whatever. Charles, you know, that slip cork, what it does, it goes right on up next to your bait, and then when you cast and it hits the water, it settles down to, you know, to a predetermined depth, right?
That's right. One of the key things for me is, biggest thing is I don't have a boat.
Uh-huh.
I've been fishing all these years and really don't have a boat. Been in a boat a few times, but, you know, I love fishing off the bank. You know,
me too.
and that slip cork allows me to fish at any depth that I want to fish. If that water's that deep, you can adjust your, what they have a bobber stopper on there.
Uh-huh.
And you can go on some of the YouTubes and I'm showing how to do this, you know, setup.
Yes.
So if you ever want to look over some of the YouTubes, you can and see how this is done. But again, you can set that at any depth, 5 feet, 10 feet, 20 feet. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, Luke, you can set that knot, and you can put it all up, way up into your rod, also into your reel,
mm-hmm.
and then still cast it out without it getting hung up. Because, you know, again, I don't boat, I fish off the bank. Another key thing with that slip cork is also if that wind is blowing real hard. If you ever tried to use just one of your little regular bobbers that you can buy anywhere, you throw it out there, and that wind, it just takes it on down,
yes.
the water, down the lake. If you have a slip cork, you throw it out there, the one that I'm talking about that I use, it'll stay out there where you throw it at. It'll drip in a little bit, but slow enough where the fish can get it and take it under. So it's a lot of key things to that slip cork, and that's why we use it. We can fish at nighttime. We can put a little night light on it, a little glow stick, and that's what we're doing right now since they have warmed up. That's to fish at night.
That's the coolest time. And I think even for folks, Charles, that's never used a slip cork, I think you did a really good job describing what it is. The line is I would say pegged, but the line, if you want to fish 18 inches deep or 18 feet deep, when you roll that thing up, the slip cork is right there by your hook and by your bait, which makes casting real, real easy. When it hits the water, the weight of the bait on the hook makes it fall through the cork, and then when it gets to the knot, that the little rubber tie there, it stops. So you can control the depth, and that makes fishing from the bank, you know, it can make it really effective, can't it, Charles?
That's right. That's one of the key things to it. I mean, you hit it right on the head. I mean, a lot of times when you sit up there and you're trying to fish, you want to fish 8 feet deep or 10 feet deep or whatever, then you, when you're trying to cast out, it's hard to do that with a little cork. With the slip cork, it allows you to wind all the way up to the top of your reel and then throw it out. So it's a real key thing to us as well. But just watching it going under is one of the things that I really enjoy. I mean,
yeah.
It's an indicator. It lets you know when you're getting a bite.
You're exactly right. Well, I've done a lot of what you're talking about, Charles, the slip cork, and I bet you a lot of our listeners, too, have done the same. Now, back to the punch bait. We're not going to – folks, don't get your pencil and notepad out. Charles is not going to give you his recipe for making this. But, Charles, the punch bait has got to do a couple of things. It's got to stay on the hook, for sure, through a cast. In other words, it's a lot of leverage there when you're cast heaving a bait out there 40, 50 feet or more. It's got to stay on the hook, and it's got to smell to attract the catfish. So I'm sure fibers of some sort, some way to make it stick to the hook, right?
Yes, we don't mind telling what we use. We use cattails to keep that bait on the hook for. I mean, there's a few other things we use. So we make a punch bait that stays on the hook and one that they'll hit. That's something that we really guarantees it. We don't put it out there in writing where we guarantee our bait. But if anyone has a problem with our bait, even now as we talk, if they have any problem with the bait staying on it, they can call us and we'll see what we can do about it. A lot of times we have people to call and say, well, you know, Cal, bait didn't stay on like that. I said, well, what you doing? Well, they might be using spring.
Mm-hmm.
They even might be using their hands to try to put it on. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend that. I make my bait for a stick or paddle, anything to punch down off in there with a treble hook. That's mm-hmm. the way I make my bait. If you want to use your hands, that's fine with me. Matter of fact, we're talking about that. I'll be having a hand soap, an odor eliminator that I'll be coming out sometime this week. So if you want to use your hands, that's fine. I have something to take the smell off. But really, it ain't about that. It's about sticking that stick on that hook and pushing it down that bait and pulling that bait out where it'll stay on the hook.
I fished with the CJs, with punch baits, a lot of different types for many years, Charles, and I agree with you. It's my favorite type of bait for catfishing. And you know, now, like at Tewakinee, a lot of folks are listening at Tewakinee and Lake Fork and Lake Levan, all up through northeast Texas. But right now, those channel cat are through with their spawn, and they're moving out into those intermediate depths, like 15 to 25 foot. And around timber is always good. But there's a lot of them being caught right now on punch baits, isn't it, Charles?
There's a lot of fish being caught on punch bait. I mean, even your people talk about your channel cats all the time, but even your blue cats will hit this punch bait. One of the things, I make a variety of different baits. I make a minnow, a shad, a crawdad, and then the monster bait. It's nothing like that monster bait. I mean, that's one of my favorites of all, and it really gets them.
So that's different types, different flavors, for lack of a better word. Charles, we are just about out of time. To learn more about punch baits, the website, I'd like you to give a website where people could go and they can actually see this and they can watch some of the YouTube videos of how to rig the slip corks and you know, be able to be very effective from the bank. So, Charles, what is the website there where folks could learn more?
Well, they can pick it up at www.cjbait.com.
Folks, that was Mr. Charles Jones. And I tell you what, I've learned a thing or two about catfish baits, and I hope that you have too. I want to remind you that you can go online to ketr.org. ketr.org, that's our station website here. And you can go to local programs and then outdoors. And there you can listen to the archive of this show and in all the past shows that we've done for the past several months. So hope that you do. Also remember catfishradio.com. And remember that this portion of the show was underwritten by Young's Wilderness Camp up in Ontario, Canada. The website up there is youngswildernesscamp.com.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.